here's a story from The World.
Denmark. It's one of those countries that's always being voted one of the happiest places to live and work, and a really good place for working women. 3 years ago, when the Me Too movement began, Danish women largely shrugged their shoulders. Sexual harassment on the job? Not a problem here. But it turns out there was a problem. Last week, the mayor of Copenhagen resigned, telling a newspaper, "I'm terribly sorry for the women I've offended through my 30 years in politics." The mayor stands accused of unwanted kissing, groping, even licking. Other politicians, including the country's foreign minister, are also in some hot water. Henriette Larsen is director of the Danish Center for Research on Women and Gender. Why is Denmark's Me Too moment happening now instead of 3 years ago, Henriette?
We have always considered ourselves as kind of front runners in gender equality. So we have a very high participation of women in the labor market, and really looked at ourselves as if we were already there, so we had no need to act. But really, this was probably a myth.
Explain how Denmark's Me Too moment started, because it was almost like the floodgates were opened and it just came rushing forth.
A very popular television host, Sofie Linde, used a comedy show to tell about her Me Too moment, where somebody in power at the television station where she worked as a very young woman was asking her to give him oral sex or he would spoil her career. So that's how it started. But actually, 2 weeks after that, we were discussing, was it okay to say that on stage? Should she have named the powerful TV person, or was it the right way to do it? So there was still nothing really coming up until 1,600 women from media signed letters saying, well, we also had Me Too moments.
Mm. And then the mayor of Copenhagen resigned in the wake of all this, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So how far and wide across Denmark are women coming forward now?
So after the 1,600 women from media, we had 322 politicians. We had 700 researchers at universities. We had, I think, 600 from the film industry and so forth. So it's becoming very broad and a very strong movement.
And are these women who are coming forward, are they also asking what took so long?
Yeah, at least they're explaining what took so long, because they simply didn't feel at the time they were able to tell their Me Too stories, because they were laughed at. Because us Danes, we look at ourselves thinking we have some kind of free spirit that allows us to say funny things and not be very political correct. We're just being a little bit funny. We call it sometimes hygge-sexism. So hygge is the very famous Danish word for being cozy.
Mm. Coziness, yeah, hygge. So kind of like a jokey, I'm familiar with this person, so it's okay kind of sexism.
Yes, yeah.
It sounds like a lot of the energy behind this Me Too moment in Denmark is coming from young women. Why is that, do you think?
I think it's quite a generation kind of gap that women that are a little bit older have, if not accepted, they have dealt with their Me Too moments by sort of telling each other who to hide for, who not to end up in the copy room or locker with. And they feel somehow that they managed, they dealt with it. They had maybe other fights, you know, on equal pay or whatever, even being at the labor market or being in politics, while young women now are saying, well, we're not going to deal with this. So it's very hard to explain why it is like that, but it's a completely different attitude coming forward from the young generation.
Mm. Is there any evidence that the men who sexually harass in Denmark are older and younger Danish men are doing less of it?
No, I wouldn't say so, because we just had this very serious documentary showing some cases of rape and very serious harassment in youth politics. If you thought that from all the young women now saying they are not taking anymore, and you thought that this is a real generation gap, that means young men are also not doing it, it was not true.
How are Danish men generally responding to this moment? Are they defensive, or are they thinking and taking stock?
I think most men really have a wake-up call these days and start reflecting. And some of them are also a little bit scared, I think, because now it's really starting to have consequences. Names are coming forward.
The current prime minister of Denmark, Mette Frederiksen, she's 42, the youngest person ever to hold that office. How is she responding to all of this?
She's not saying that much, but she has been quite clear that this is something where we have to change culture. It mustn't just be something, you know, where we make a little change in some kind of nice policy for the drawer in the office. And she's also been very clear and vocal on a recent change we had on consensual sex. So we just changed that, and she's been very instrumental in that. So I'm quite positive.
So I'm just curious, Henriette, where do Danes go from here with this Me Too moment? I mean, like, can you imagine what's going to happen now in the average office? I mean, I know people are working offsite, but what happens now between men and women?
I think it has started a lot of dialogue. I think we have not had any lunch where people were able to meet without them talking about our Me Too moment and realizing that for the first time, maybe, that we really do have a problem. So that's the first step, I think, to actually change our culture to have less sexual harassment in this country.
Henriette Laursen, director of the Danish Center for Research on Women and Gender, speaking with us from Copenhagen. Thank you very much, Henriette. Good to meet you.
You're welcome. Good to meet you.
From PRX.